The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This episode is brought to you by my friend Rebecca Walser, a financial expert who can help you protect your wealth. Book your free call with her team by going to friendofdinesh.com. That's friendofdinesh.com. Coming up, what's the common thread between Russia collusion as exposed in the Durham report and the suppression of the Biden laptop story? Well, it's election interference. I'll show you how. Podcaster and TV personality Trish Regan joins me. We're going to talk about current issues, including the state of the economy, and I'll reveal how Starbucks is trying to push woke perversion in India. Hey, if you're listening on Apple, Google, or Spotify, or watching on Rumble, please subscribe to the podcast. I really appreciate it. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Show.
America needs this voice. The times are crazy. In a time of confusion, division, and lies, we need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
I've now had a couple of days to digest the full sweep of the Durham final report. And what the report reveals or confirms is a triangular alliance between three corrupt parties. On one side, you have one peg of the triangle is the Clinton campaign. They are the originators of the fraud. They're the ones who wanted to frame Trump, not only to defeat him in the election, but to divert attention from Hillary's server, her deleted emails, to also divert attention away from investigations that were that could have started at the FBI or in the intelligence agencies involving questionable contributions to the Clinton Foundation, illegal campaign donations. So there was a lot of dirty laundry on the part of the Clinton campaign. And their point was, let's sick these guys on Trump. So that's the first party. The second party was, of course, the FBI and other intelligence agencies. This whole Russia collusion involved foreign intelligence agencies. It involved the CIA. And so there's a wider web of spies and spooks and bad guys involved. And third, the media. The media, which played a role of an accessory to trumpeting these lies. The lies paid off for the media. There were Pulitzer Prizes awarded. And Durham has the goods on all three groups. He begins with the U.S. government and the intelligence agencies, and he makes one clear point. They never had one shred of evidence that the Trump campaign was in any way collaborating with Russia. No ties between Trump campaign officials and Russians. Trump was in no way a Russian asset or some kind of a subsidiary of Putin. All of this pure fabrication, pure lies. Number two, the intelligence agencies not only were promoting these lies, but they knew they were lies. In other words, it wasn't that the Clinton campaign duped them. So John Brennan, for example, the former CIA director, this is a guy he's repeatedly mentioned in the Durham report. He was going out in public. He wrote, for example, a op-ed in the New York Times 2018, quote, President Trump's claims of no collusion are hogwash. Similarly, he was testifying to the same effect before the House Intelligence Committee. And yet, when he was interviewed, Brennan admits, I didn't have any evidence of Russia collusion. And he said that he looked at all the documents and he, quote, found no conspiracy. And yet, even after he, even despite admitting this to Durham, he goes on MSNBC and basically implies that there is a conspiracy and Trump is colluding with Russia. So In a way, you could say these are people bringing the dark arts of disinformation that they supposedly were trained to use abroad on foreign adversaries, except they're using it here to rig a presidential election. By the way, there were key foreign allies and foreign officials who both informed the U.S. intelligence agencies. We don't see any evidence of this. And in one case, the United Kingdom, the intelligence service said, we're not cooperating with this. We don't think this is a legitimate line of investigation. The other thing is that that Durham highlights the double standard in the way that the FBI treated Trump versus, say, Hillary. He says the speed and manner in which the FBI opened and investigated Crossfire Hurricane during the presidential election season, based on raw, unanalyzed, and uncorroborated intelligence, reflected a noticeable departure from how it approached prior matters involving possible attempted foreign election interference plans aimed at the Clinton campaign. So if you look at the exact same situation, Trump is treated one way, Hillary is treated another way. And then we turn finally to the media reporting. And it turns out the media reporting was cited by the report for regularly promoting inaccurate information. I can kind of see now why the New York Times is poo-pooing the Durham report. Why? Because it exposes the New York Times. It points out, for example, that the FBI records show that reports published by the New York Times in February and March of 2017 concerning what four unnamed current and former U.S. intelligence officials claimed about the Trump campaign personnel being in touch with any Russian intelligence officers was untrue. So it was untrue. The FBI knows it was untrue. The New York Times knows it was untrue. And yet they promote it. Why? Now, the common thread here is that all these groups, from the Clinton campaign to the intelligence agencies to the media, are all equally hostile to Trump. So they're united in a common enterprise, which is to say, why not promote these lies? Why look too hard at this matter? Why try to check and verify things? That could only thwart the whole effort. We discover that there isn't any truth to it, and then we have to drop it. So if we don't check it, we can then push ahead, at least in the sort of good faith knowledge that it could be true. We want it to be true, and therefore, perhaps it is true. Debbie and I started eating better this year. We've lost weight, but foods we can't seem to eat enough of, and it's a requirement, are veggies and fiber. Now, what better way to get all your fruits and veggies plus fiber than with Balance of Nature? Balance of Nature Fiber and Spice is a proprietary blend of 12 spices for digestive health. The intense flavors and deep colors of spices are the most condensed whole food source of phytonutrition available. It's recommended to be paired with this, their star product, fruits and veggies in a capsule. So easy. Select the whole health system for the best price. Start your journey to better health right now. Take advantage of Balance of Nature's great offer, $25 off plus free fiber and spice with your first preferred order of fruits and veggies when you use discount code America. The offer can end at any time, so act now. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com. Use discount code America. If one were to draw a single line of significance for the Durham final report, I think for me, it would be election interference. That's the key to it. That's what this was all about. Interfering in the 2016 election and rigging the outcome. And if we step back and look broadly at what the Democrats have been doing through the intelligence agencies and through the media, it's election interference all the way. Let me give you a list that somebody compiled on Twitter. And it's a pretty startling list, but I'm just going to go through it. The Russia collusion probe, election interference. The Mueller investigation, election interference. Trump impeachment 1, election interference. COVID lockdowns, election interference. Unlawful mail-in ballot changes, election interference. Hunter Biden laptop story censorship, election interference. 51 Intel officers sign Russia disinfo letter, election interference. Trump impeachment 2, election interference. Big tech censorship, election interference. And then we come to the present, FBI Mar-a-Lago raid, the civil suit judgment, the criminal indictment, the judge's Trump gag order, the ongoing investigations in Georgia, all election interference aimed at, number one, preventing Trump from winning as he did win in 2016, preventing Trump from winning and successfully putting Biden in the White House in 2020, now trying to prevent Trump from running in 2024. So it is so poignantly ironic that the left keeps accusing us of election. Oh, the election denialism. No, the left is the true election deniers. They don't want it to be up to the American people to decide. They want to fix the outcome, fix it every which way, change the rules of how people vote, change the information flow that's going to the public. Let's just lie to the American public and let's just hope that the lie at least survives past election day. Why? Because then it's too late. Now we can talk all we want about the censoring of the Hunter Biden laptop, but it mattered most when the American people might have used that information to make a judgment in 2020. Now, the House Subcommittee on the Judiciary has gone into this statement signed by the 51 intelligence officers and tracked it in very precise detail. And you get a better idea of how these things work. So Anthony Blinken, now Secretary of State, then a Biden campaign advisor, approached the former CIA director, acting director Mike Morrell. Mike Morrell then begins to draft the letter. And Morrell testified, he goes, listen, I did it because Blinken called me. I would not have done it if Blinken hadn't asked me to. And then we have key officials in the intelligence agencies admitting that the reason that they signed and the reason that they asked other people to sign is to help Biden. So there's an explicit acknowledgement. Let me quote. We think Trump will attack Biden on the issue at this week's debate, and we want to offer perspectives on this from Russia watchers and other seasoned experts. And then, quote, we want to give the vice president a talking point to use in response. Now, again, from the House report, the first part of that is an email from Kristen Wood to unnamed intelligence officials. The second one is an email from Michael Morrell to unnamed intelligence officials. But the point is clear. All these guys who are soliciting signatures are quite candid that their purpose is political. This is not some CIA mission. This is not some ongoing investigation. This is basically, let's help Biden in the upcoming debate so we can get him across the finish line. And these guys are very meticulous about how they go about it. So once they get the letter, what do they do next? Well, they identify a specific journalist at the Washington Post and they go, let's give this individual the letter. In other words, this individual is like in our pocket. This individual is a sympathetic reporter. They'll know what to do with it. I think what they're saying is that this is somebody who is in our propagandistic camp. So if we want to put out some disinformation or propaganda, we, of course, need a young Goebbels, a propaganda minister who's willing to be the trumpet for this falsehood. Evidently, though, the Washington Post in this particular case didn't act fast enough, and so they pushed it on Politico. Politico then published it under the headline, and here's the headline, Hunter Biden story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. Now, there's a little bit of deniability in here, because later the intel officials could say, well, we didn't say it was Russian disinformation. We merely said it has the hallmarks, the imprints, the signatures. But of course, they know that the media will run with it more than what the letter itself says. So the letter itself has some qualifications in there on the one hand, on the other hand. But the media ignores the qualifications, goes with the headline, and then that becomes the, quote, public knowledge. So we're in a position in the country where we as American citizens are getting bad information. We're getting bad information from our media, bad information from our government, and the underlying motive, always keep this in mind, election interference, the true subversion of our democracy. If aches and pains are the problem, well, Relief Factor is the solution. Debbie and I started taking Relief Factor now a couple of years ago. The difference we've seen in our joints, nothing short of amazing. Aches and pains are totally gone thanks to this 100% drug-free solution called Relief Factor. How does it work? Relief Factor supports your body's fight against inflammation. That's the source of aches and pains. The vast majority of people who try Relief Factor become regular customers and order more because it works for them. Debbie's a true believer. She can now do the exercises that for a long time she wasn't able to do. So Relief Factor has been a big game changer for her, her aunt, other members of our family, Mike here in the studio, and for many other people. You too can benefit. Try it for yourself. Order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. The number again, 800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. Feel the difference. Guys, I'm happy to welcome back to the podcast our friend Trish Regan, host of the Trish Regan Show. By the way, the website, trishreganshow.com. She's also the editor of a multimedia publishing company, trishintel.com. Trish, welcome. Great to have you on the show. And wow, let me start with this business about the Durham report. I saw that Lindsey Graham was asked, what does he think should now happen? And he goes, well, I wish that someone at the FBI would call and apologize. So evidently, he thinks that an apology will set matters straight. I mean, isn't it a fact that what Durham has confirmed, I won't say uncovered, because a lot of people already knew this, but an elaborate triangular scheme involving the Clinton campaign on the one hand, the intelligence agencies on the other, and the media, the third partner in this operation, all putting out a complete disinformation operation, clearly with the intent of influencing an election.
This was absolutely unbelievable. And let me just like go back. I have lots of concerns about what they might be doing in 22 or did in 2020, lots of concerns about what they might be doing now. But let's go back to what was going down there in 2016. I mean, you said it. I mean, this was an opposition research campaign. This was coming from a major law firm out of D.C. that was representing Hillary Clinton. And then they went out and got Fusion GPS, which was an Oppo research firm, which then went and hired this ex-British spy who had a lot of contacts in Russia. He, in turn, Christopher Steele, hired a guy who, by the way, the United States government was concerned that the guy who fed all this information was a Russian spy himself. So Igor Dachenko, if I got that name right. So in other words, this was multi-layered. And what amazed me the most, Dinesh, and I'll just say this as a journalist, you know, I'm very reluctant to go with something until I have multiple sources. And I always check those sources. And the other thing I do, Dinesh, is I think long and hard about the political bias or the financial bias, right? I cover the economy that a particular source may have. Are they shorting that stock? Is that the reason why they want to put out bad information? Or are they politically motivated? Because maybe if you trace this thing back, it goes back to a political source, as this one did in the case of Hillary Clinton. And so what shocked me from the very beginning is how on earth our FBI would actually sign off on the wiretapping agreements to spy on American citizen and spy on the Trump campaign without having done the basic, the very basic due diligence that one would ask of oneself as a journalist, as a reporter. And then they were spoon-fed. The media was spoon-fed all this nonsense. You had all these ex-spy hacks like John Brennan out there insisting it was true. It was all false. And so I think that that just has to have us take a step back. Like, that's what we need to do right now. Some heads ought to roll at the FBI. Anybody that has these political biases, it is not called for. It is unacceptable. They should not have that kind of position in government.
Now, Trish, as we dig through the Durham report, it's very obvious. Like, for example, Dachenko, the guy that you referenced, made all these wild allegations about a P tape and so on. And supposedly he got it from another guy named Sergey Milian. We see in the Durham report, He didn't know Sergey Milyon. He never talked to the guy. He basically made this up. And then you're saying a normal checking process would be, well, who'd you get it from? Let me call that guy, right? The FBI didn't do any of this. But do you think they didn't do any of this because they simply lost their competence and were suckered? Or do you think, I think more likely, the FBI totally knew what was going on. They totally knew that this was a framing of Trump. And they were like, we're not going to check because, frankly, if we check, we might discover that we can't go forward.
Well, wouldn't it have occurred to someone at the FBI to maybe have called the hotel and gotten the hotel records? And then maybe they would have found out that, guess what? Donald Trump didn't even stay there. I mean, there were all these things that they could have, should have done. And I was like, gosh. I mean, I read the thing, right? Because it got published on BuzzFeed. And I personally wouldn't have chosen to publish it. I believe everybody should be able to read whatever, but I thought it was irresponsible of them to do so only because it was so obviously opposition research. And then people were running around treating it like gospel over on MSNBC. You know, the conspiracy just kept getting more wild and more wild. But yes, Dinesh, these are the things they should have done. So why didn't they? We have to ask ourselves and we have to ask them that. That's why we should have everybody up. I want to see them all on Capitol Hill and I want to see them answer these questions. Why didn't you ask the logical stuff that they teach you in, like, you know, any basic journalism class at a community college? Like, why isn't the FBI doing that? And I suspect, well, it's one of two reasons: total incompetence, which should have us quite fearful, or it was politically motivated. It may have been, in fact, and I'm being generous here, it may have been a combination of both. Yes, they're incompetent, but boy, oh boy, did they want to get them. They wanted to get them bad. And so they were willing to overlook things, right? They had their answer for that equation already. They had the answer. And now they just needed to plug in the dots and plug in whatever algorithm was going to get them there. And they didn't want to listen to anything that might negate that.
When we come back, more with Trish Regan. Summer is around the corner, and guys, I'm asking for your help to bless a child with a mom or dad in prison by joining my campaign to send prisoners' kids for a week of fun, fresh air, and Christ-centered activities that can literally transform their lives forever. Angel Tree Camp, it's operated by the nonprofit Prison Fellowship, gives kids enriching new experiences. They interact with caring camp counselors. They make new friends with other children who have a parent behind bars. And most important, hear the gospel. Listen how donations from people just like you help transform this child's life.
It is a great camp for kids to go to. Everybody loves you, cares for you, and it's a great camp. Learn about God. The best part of Angel Tree was, for me, would have to be the activities. I can get to play in the gym. You get to go tubing in the lake, wadeboarding, water weenie. What I learned the most about Jesus was that even though that your father has been incarcerated or in jail, you still have a father up in heaven.
The cost to help reach one child, like the girl you just heard, with a week of Angel Tree camping is only $200. So your donation in any amount will bless the child of a prisoner this summer. Just go to my website, DineshDSouza.com, DineshDSouza.com. Click on the Angel Tree banner at the top of the page, or you can phone in your gift by calling my special number, 888-206-2801. $400 helps send two children to camp, 800, four children to camp. So you do the math. See how many kids you can bless. Once again, the Angel Tree banner is so easy to access. Go to DineshDSouza.com, top of my webpage. And thank you in advance for joining my campaign to help even more miracles of transformation take place this year. By God's grace, it's going to be an amazing campaign. I'm back with Trish Regan, host of The Trish Regan Show, the website TrishReganShow.com. So Trish, Kevin McCarthy, the Oversight Committee, they've sent out an invitation to Durham to come before the committee. Now, I think that that's a very useful thing because, you know, Durham will lay out not just the overall conclusion, which is startling, but also a lot of the detail that goes into it. I think my concern is this: at the end of it, Durham basically says, in effect, Look, no one really here needs to be prosecuted. There are no criminal steps that need to be taken. It's not even that the FBI needs an overhaul. We just need to sort of all make sure that this doesn't happen again because it's going to diminish public trust in our institution. So it struck me that after laying out this elaborate scheme involving Obama, Hillary Clinton, the AG Loretta Lynch, James Comey is in the room. Brennan is briefing them with lies. In fact, he tells them this is coming from the Hillary campaign and all of them are on board. And then the solution is let's roll up our sleeves, guys, and act a little more responsibly the next time.
I'm sorry, but no, that's not going to do it. I think actually it's just going to continue to cause people to have their faith in these institutions eroded. Americans don't trust their government now. And I got to say, like, I think, you know, and you've seen the studies, we've looked at the polls. Americans just have no faith right now in Congress. They have no faith in the Oval Office. Heck, they have no faith in the Federal Reserve. I mean, it is just, or the Supreme Court. I mean, it is just a mess. So what is the answer? Oh gosh, guys, you know what? Do better next time. That's not going to work, Dinesh. We need some accountability. It's just like, you know, people get mad with these banks that blow up, SVB. That was uncalled for. And there was no oversight by the San Francisco Fed, the CEO in charge and his risk officers. I mean, they blew it. And what's the punishment? Oh, you know, well, better luck next time. We can't be in that better luck next time environment. If there's no repercussions, then what is to stop anyone, in all seriousness, from doing it again? Look at what happened with the 51 old spies that got together. Apparently, allegedly, if you believe Mike Morrell, who said this on the request of Antony Blinken, now head of our State Department, who said, oh, well, I would never be political, except for the fact that he was working for the Biden campaign. You have to say, wait a second, did this happen all over again? They want us to believe that the truth is Russian misinformation, disinformation, but they want us to believe that the disinformation coming from them is the truth. It's enough to make your head spin. And Americans are not going to believe in this unless we actually have more transparency. It's the most critical thing you can have in the world.
When you got
right
these
now.
51 intelligence officers, to my knowledge, not a single one of them has come out publicly and said, well, you know what? I really shouldn't have signed that letter. I kind of got drawn into it. And even if I wanted Biden to win, this was not the right way to go about it. Now, I ask myself, why? Why do none of them, not even one, feel the obligation to do this? And I think the answer is that from the media, I mean, look at the New York Times coverage of the Durham report. They're basically saying, well, the Republicans are trying to take advantage of this, but there's really nothing new here. And there's nothing here that we didn't already know. So these intelligence officers go,
it confirms it.
No, it does.
Though.
It does. But I mean, these guys,
it,
I think
it confirms it after, you know, it's a what? 300, I get it sitting over here, 306 page document to confirm what, yes, Dinesh, we already knew. We had already been talking about. But this is the proof, and they don't want to do anything.
Right.
With
but
it.
I blame Durham a little bit because for the simple reason that he could have forced their hand. See, if Durham had brought an indictment, let's just say an indictment against Comey or an indictment against Brennan, then you can't avoid covering it. It's got to be on CNN. It's got to be on MSNBC. You automatically create the necessary public theater that follows an indictment. But if Durham comes around and basically says, here's my 300-page document, I hope you guys all read it and then take it to heart, it's very easy for all of them to go, ha, 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 we just got away. I mean, think about it. They got away with the original Russia collusion, and now they've gotten away with the disinformation in the 2020 campaign. What's to say they won't be attempting it again in 2024?
Oh, I think they probably will. And I think that this is why it is so critical. And I say this, and for all your listeners, I mean, wonderful. Kudos to you for listening to Dinesh, who is just an outstanding intellectual conservative thinker. And I think, and hopefully you come over and listen to my show too, but this is why I think it's so critical for Americans to actually be really, really proactive in terms of how they seek out their news, because you're not going to get the truth on CNN or MSNBC or even Fox right now, right? Who's clearly shown that they are reluctant to go certain places. I think it's really, really important that you be that active consumer and that, you know what, go look at all sides. I certainly do. I look at what the left is saying. I look look at what the right is saying. I try and figure out what's in between. I also, by the way, make sure that I do my due diligence. I haven't read the whole report yet, but I promise I'll finish it by this weekend. I always read this stuff. I do that because it's on me. The onus is on me. And I think as a consumer of news and opinion, the onus is on individuals to go out and seek alternative sources, because if you want to be able to make an informed decision in 2024, you can't listen to the spin. You can't listen to what the State Department wants you to think, or the CIA wants you to think, or a bunch of old CIA hacks that are out there stumping for politicians. You've got to be able to get to the truth.
Coming up more with Trish Regan. Former President Trump recently issued a warning for Mar-a-Lago, quote, "Our currency is crashing and will soon no longer be the world standard, which will be our greatest defeat, frankly, in 200 years. Some experts believe there are serious threats to the future value of the U.S. dollar because of inflation, deficit spending, and our increasing national debt. One asset that has withstood famine, wars, and economic upheaval dating back to biblical times is gold, and you can own it in a tax-sheltered retirement account with the help of Birch Gold. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k, maybe from a previous employer, into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't pay a penny out of pocket. So get started. Text Dinesh to 989898 and claim your free information kit on gold. Think about this. In March of this year, when the banks faltered, the stock market faltered, gold surged. Birch Gold can help you find out how to protect your savings with gold. Birch Gold has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, so go ahead, text Dinesh to 989898. Get your free information kit on gold to get you started. Again, text Dinesh to 989898. I'm talking to Trish Regan, host of The Trish Regan Show. By the way, on Twitter, at Trish, T-R-I-S-H underscore R-E-G-A-N, Regan, or the website TrishReganShow.com. Trish, I saw an article today about, this was about New York, and they were talking about vets are evidently being moved out of these hotel rooms to make room for illegals. And at first I had to do a little bit of a double take, but there seems to be, I don't know if there's a political motive, but there is a financial motive. Evidently, the government is paying these hotels a higher rate or more money to take an illegal than to house or temporarily house a vet. But I mean, think of the kind of symbolic significance of this. Who does America care about? Not our vets, but people who are breaking the law and are being encouraged to come across the border from other countries into this country illegally.
And it's like breaks my heart. I mean, it really does. I think we need to forever remember the sacrifices that our vets have made to help protect our country. You know, there are many that come out of warfare and they're never the same, right? And we have an obligation as a country, as a society. This is a human obligation to make sure that we put them on the best possible path forward. I'm pretty darn passionate about it. My dad's a Vietnam era vet, and I'll tell you, you know, he's still, you walk into the room and he'll wake up like this because he's used to, you know, having slept with the I'm not going to get the terminology right, but the big machine gun, right? These are things that you're left with the rest of your life. We need to care for those people. And the idea that you would throw a vet out of a hotel because you're going to get more money, shame on New York. Shame on this mayor. I mean, that city has just deteriorated into an absolute mess. I'm thrilled that we moved out of there some 6 years ago. I try my darndest never to go back. Last time I was there, we were at some medical appointments. We're way uptown, up in Harlem at 125th Street. I'm like, okay, you know, it's just easier to go on 125th Street. So I'm on the subway platform. Sure enough, there is a massive fight. I'm looking down onto Martin Luther King Boulevard. Massive fight. Some 20 people involved in this thing. And no cops. No cops anywhere. There's an ambulance that goes by. Nothing happens. So this goes on for like a full 9-10 minutes. And I'm thinking, where are the police? So New York City is a disaster. They are now, as you said, kicking the most important people that have served our country out of these hotels because maybe they get a pretty penny because the federal government has prioritized these migrants. I'm sorry. We got something really, really wrong. We are not protecting the citizens of the United States of America. We are not protecting the citizens on the subways of New York City. You saw what's going on. I mean, they've raised now more than $2 million for Mr. Penny, who found himself in a pretty bad spot. I just want to know, why aren't we protecting the people that live here?
I mean, there's a line, it reminds me of a line from the poet Yeats, where he says, "The best lack all conviction and the worst are full of passionate intensity." It seems to me like in America today, if you are sort of a good guy that's doing the right thing, living by the rules, trying to be a law-abiding guy, or trying to be a cop that's enforcing the law, or a vet, you're sort of on the out list. And on the other hand, if you're a criminal in these Democratic-run cities, you're emboldened. If you're an illegal, these illegals are making videos now on TikTok where they're all basically laughing at the Biden administration and kind of mocking the United States for its kind of whimsical attitude toward, hey, come here, stay as long as you want, court date 2027. You know, I mean, talk about a country making a joke out of its own laws.
Sure. I mean, look, Dinesh, if you or I wanted to immigrate to Mexico, you know, we'd actually have to fill out some forms, and we certainly wouldn't be allowed to vote in local school board elections. If I wanted to immigrate, you grew up in India. If I wanted to immigrate to India, it would take a fair amount of paperwork. I mean, you can't just like show up. We are the only country in the world, actually, that has such a liberal asylum policy. But even assuming that, because, you know, I get it. Like, and you're an immigrant and my ancestors were all immigrants. I mean, that's how we got here, right? I get that. I appreciate that. I love that. I think that we need that diversity of people and thought and workers, et cetera. So I'm all for that. But can we not do this in a systematic way? Can we not actually have some rules and regulations built around it? Can we not actually say, hey, you know what? We really need nurses right now. And hey, the Philippines has a great supply of nurses. Maybe we should actually recruit from there because they want to come here. I mean, we just have to be more thoughtful, more systematic, and develop an approach that makes sense for us because we're a pretty big country as it is. We're pretty successful. We want to continue that success. And you're right. It's shameful, I think, and I love that you quote Yeats. It's one of the things I love about you, Dinesh. But we're just in a position right now where I think it's just for political reasons, there's an effort to divide everyone. Consider what we heard from the President of the United States at Howard University last weekend. I mean, that kind of talk, it's unacceptable. And what it effectively does, it sort of gins up this issue and makes people more and more divided. And it's not who we are. I mean, again, we've elected an African-American president, not once, but twice. We are still the place in the world where everybody wants to come because it is still the land of opportunity. We need to focus on those opportunities. And in places like Lori Lightfoot, Chicago, or out in Watts, L.A., or Harlem up in New York City, or the Bronx, or we need to do a better job. And by the way, these communities that live there need to do a better job of holding lawmakers responsible because it is their fault that kids were not in school. It is their fault that there's so much crime on the streets. They got to get their act together to help offer more opportunity for every American living there.
Absolutely. Guys, check out Trish Regan's podcast, The Trish Regan Show. Go to trishreganshow.com. Hey, Trish, always a pleasure.
Hey, great to see you, Dinesh.
Bank failures, record inflation, spy balloons, mass layoffs, a recipe for disaster. If your investments are in the wrong hands, if they're with a typical financial advisor, this is not good. But my friend Rebecca Walser is different. You've seen her on the podcast. She's a very savvy observer of world events as well as economic events inside the United States. She's a wealth strategist, a tax attorney. She has a global MBA from the London School of Economics. She told her clients to get out of equities back at the end of 2021. The right call. She got it right when most advisors got it wrong. And who had to pay the price? Well, you as the consumer. So don't let blind loyalty leave you losing money. Call Rebecca Walser's office today to protect your wealth from the market uncertainty. Debbie and I just did a call with Rebecca's team to talk about our investments, and you should too. Go to friendofdinesh.com to book a call with her team today. That's friendofdinesh.com to protect your investments. And your future. Is India going woke? Well, the short answer to that is no. But there are some peculiar indications that the woke ideology, and specifically the trans ideology, is making its way to India. Now, recently, Indian Bride magazine had this amazing cover photo of a man in a bridal outfit. And the man was just chock full all over his body of hair. In fact, my cousin Warren, WhatsApping me from India, goes, Dinesh, this guy has more hair than all the carpets in our house combined. And but kind of a peculiar phenomenon. And I'm guessing that what's happening here is that the sort of, well, the way that the trans ideology implants itself is it works through the creative, artistic people who tend to dominate advertising agencies, tend to design the covers of magazines. And not only is there a higher population of gays in that community, but then those guys also use their influence in media, in advertising, in public relations to push these ideas out there. It seems, for example, even in this country, when we think about the ads for Miller Lite, for Bud Light, the idea that these sort of beer-drinking companies with a beer-drinking audience would be promoting a trans agenda, well, that's coming from the advertising agencies that they commission. Hey, make an ad for us, and this is what they get back. Now, one of the ways that trans ideology is being pushed is it's being pushed in India from America. So here's Starbucks. Starbucks has is apparently generated controversy in India now by releasing an ad that promotes transgenderism. Now, what is the ad about? Well, it's basically about this couple, and they're waiting to see their child that has transitioned. And the father has not, in fact, seen his daughter since the transition. And the daughter has changed her name and essentially looks different, is now obviously a different, has a completely different makeup. And suddenly the barista calls out the name, and the name is not the male name. It's a female name, but it's there's only one letter difference. So it was Arpit, and now it's Arpita. And the father's all flustered, and then the father kind of reconciles him to it and basically says something idiotic like, well, it's not a really a big difference. It's only a difference of one letter. Well, either it's an important difference or it's not. Who can say the difference between male and female is not an important fundamental difference? We're all born into the world one or the other. We're not born into the world as generic human beings. And then the Starbucks caption in the ad, this is how they end the ad. Your name defines who you are, whether it's Arpit or Arpita. At Starbucks, we love and accept you for who you are because being yourself means everything to us. Now, this be yourself notion, which again, you can see it's a very American notion, but it's a notion that should be understood to have limits. I mean, if you were to meet a young Hitler, and he's like, well, you know, I've just encountered my first Jews, and my idea is to actually kill all these people. Would you really say, be yourself, because our goal is to accept you, to quote Starbucks, because being yourself means everything to us. In other words, don't try to change. Don't try to be anything other than the true Adolf Hitler, because that's, after all, the recipe. No, you wouldn't say that. No one would dream of saying that. And it's really important to realize that what Starbucks is doing here, this kind of assault on Indian sensibilities, is done in a very cunning way. First of all, Arpit is obviously a Hindu name. And I think Starbucks has made the sly calculation that it's a little easier to try to browbeat the Hindus than it would be the Muslims. I mean, Starbucks would never dream of taking a Muslim guy and going, well, you know what? You used to be Muhammad, or you used to be Abdul. Now we're going to call you a female name. Because why? Because the Muslims would surround Starbucks and set the place on fire. And then Starbucks would be like, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to offend Muslim sensibility. So they're sly enough to say, all right, but we think the Hindus are nice guys. They're go-along, get-along types. We're going to try to browbeat them with this kind of stuff. But we're not going to try it in Qatar. We're not going to try it in Saudi Arabia. We're not going to try it in Egypt, because there are going to be riots and Starbucks is going to be forced to get out of the country. So this is really how the ideology is pushed. It's pushed on weak people who don't resist.
And in fact, here is a an Indian commentator saying, Starbucks in Saudi, UAE, Qatar have been around for much longer than India, yet you will never see them place such ads there. And my question is, why? If you're so proud of this trans ideology, you don't care about profits, you really want to promote the idea that people should be who they are, why aren't you promoting this worldwide? Why aren't you pushing it, for example, in China? Why aren't you asking the Chinese to feature these kinds of ads? The answer is Starbucks does not do that. So they are playing a dirty game here in India. And of course, the consequences are bad for the United States because the Indians then identify Starbucks with the United States and then say the United States is pushing perversion in India. And to some degree, that's right. I think when it comes to towels, nothing compares to MyPillow towels. Mike Lindell has really hit a home run with his MyPillow towels. Imagine having a towel that actually dries you. It actually works. The MyPillow towels are soft to the touch without the lotiony feel. They have proprietary technology which makes them highly absorbent. Other towels feel good in the store, but they don't absorb. MyPillow towels are available in multiple styles and sizes. They're made with 100% USA cotton. They're machine washable and durable, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. And Mike is running a MyTowel 6-piece set special. $25. That's it. With promo code Dinesh. The towels were regularly $99.98, so it's an amazing offer. It includes 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths. Wow. So go ahead, call 800-876-0227. The number again, 800-876-0227, or go to MyPillow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code D-I-N-E-S-H Dinesh. I'm starting a new chapter in What's So Great About Christianity. It's chapter 21 out of 26. So we're in the latter part of the book. This chapter is called The Ghost in the Machine, Why Man is More Than Matter. The opening quotation from Daniel Dennett, this idea of immaterial souls has outlived its credibility thanks to the advance of the natural sciences. The natural sciences evidently have shot down, have disproved, he thinks, the idea of the soul. We're going to find out if this is really true. But I was talking in the last several days about conscience, the impartial spectator, the voice within. And the question is, how do we know that this conscience is real? That it's not some kind of an illusion, a hallucination. We hear it, but it's not really there. We hear from religious views that these transactions of good and evil take place in the human soul. But where is the soul? Where can it be located? There's a powerful strain of atheism that says, hey, human beings are nothing more than matter. Now, this point of view is called materialism, but it's not the materialism that says, hey, that she's a real materialist. She's always shopping at the mall. No, this is materialism in the deeper sense that we are material objects in a material world. And other than these material objects in the world, there's nothing else. So in this materialistic view, the soul is a fiction. It's a ghost in the machine. In other words, all you have is a machine. Now, some people postulate, there's a ghost in there, but no one can really see the ghost. And this is a ghost that has been invented by religion for its own purposes. So goes the atheist argument. Now, there is some truth to the fact that if you are a medical doctor, let's say, or an anatomist, you're not going to find the ghost, you're not going to find the soul inside the material frame of human beings, right? If you cut up the human being, you do a major dissection, a kind of, what is the examination of the body? And is it called a post, kind of an autopsy. You do an autopsy. What do you find? You find there are brains, arteries, blood, organs. Those are made up, obviously, of atoms and molecules. And by the way, the same atoms and molecules are also used to make up trees and stones. And so you've got this material object called man. And it is tempting for the skeptic or the atheist to go that man is a material object no different from, say, a stone. A man is a sort of intelligent robot, a carbon-based computer. And so man has all this equipment, this complexity, to be sure, that you may not find in a simpler object. But nevertheless, man is not in kind different from those other objects. Man should be understood in material terms. And if you sure we have some immaterial aspects of thoughts, emotions, and so on, think of those as sort of software programs that are running in your brain.
Now, here are a few quotations. If we do indeed possess an immortal soul, this is the physicist Victor Stenger in his book called God, the Failed Hypothesis, then we should expect to find some evidence for it. And he goes, well, we haven't found any, so the soul is obviously a myth. Here's philosopher Daniel Dennett. Our brains are made up of neurons and nothing else. Nerve cells are very complicated mechanical systems. You take enough of those, you put them together, you get a soul. So what he's saying is that the soul is simply a name for the interaction between electrical circuits and neurons and material objects. So Dennett is not saying the soul is an object. He's saying rather the soul is simply a kind of term that we use for the brain's ability to do certain types of mechanical processing. Now, there's another implication of the soul not being real, being an illusion, and that is that if the soul is really an illusion, and if all we are is material objects in a material world, then we objects follow material laws the same as everything else. Well, how can we have free will? Doesn't it follow that the whole universe must be deterministic? You can say, well, I made the decision to eat an ice cream yesterday. But was that really your choice, is my point. Because after all, didn't your neurons fire in such a way? Wasn't your appetite generated in a certain way? By the way, all processes occurring inside of you over which you have no direct control, going, hey, don't you really want to have that ice cream? And then you go, yes, I do. So all you're doing is obediently following the promptings that are coming mechanically from inside of you, and you're mistakenly calling those an exercise of free will. So here you got Francis Crick, the co-inventor of DNA, the biologist E.O. Wilson, affirming that free will doesn't really exist. Here's Crick. It seems free to you, but it's the result of things you're not aware of. And Wilson writes that, quote, the hidden preparation of mental activity gives the illusion of free will. So the mind is working inside of us and giving us prompts. We think, we misinterpret those prompts to mean that we are choosing something, but in fact, we are being inwardly directed. So admittedly, the direction is not coming from the outside. No one is making us do this. But on the other hand, there is something making us do that, and that something is inside of ourselves. So I've laid out here sort of the skeptical or atheist position as clearly as I can. We're material objects without really free will. We have the illusion of free will. And in subsequent days, I will show why this whole line of argument doesn't only not make any sense, but can be thoroughly refuted.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com. Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.